Hi, and welcome to the Arana Hills Church of Christ podcast. We hope this message brings you closer to knowing God, finding freedom in Him, and understanding what He has in store for you and your community. To learn more about Arana Hills Church of Christ, head to aranahills.church. We hope you enjoy this message.
We are together here this morning. We thank you that your living word is amongst us. And even though we sing these songs, I don't know how much we believe it always to say that you are powerful, that you are capable, that you have all authority in heaven and on earth. Maybe it's something of a surrender this morning as we just say we don't have all the authority. We have access. We are conduits. But Lord, you are King. You are Lord. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we submit ourselves, Father, into your presence. Just so big you are, so close you are. Just so strong you are, so gentle you are. You are with us. It's such a pleasure, Lord, to experience you. Hello, God, this morning. We just greet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this place. Do you know that you're not alone? Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge your presence. We just can't do this without you. There's no reason to. Father, we just know that you are with us. We know that you are for us. We know that you are here to carry our burdens so that we can move freely and lightly. Thank you, Father. You know all things. You know what's happening in every person that's standing here today. Whether they're excited for the year to come or whether they're a little bit scared, but Lord, you know exactly what's happening. You can see below the surface. Nothing is hidden from your view. Except our sin, which you choose not to see. Because, Lord, you love us and you adore us. You don't want us to hurt ourselves, Father. So you call those things out that we may recognize them in the context of community. But just, Lord, I just sense this morning that there is something so caring about the Lord that you need to experience this morning as you lean and you trust on Him. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Very good to be with you. Thank you for coming. And for those that don't know me, my name's AJ, part of the team here at Arana and across where God has placed us. And for those who do know me, my voice is a little bit different this morning. Some told me it's an upgrade when you go a bit deeper. I'm all clear and I'm all good. And so we are in an interesting time in the world, and it's good for you to be here. Before we share a short word this morning, we as a team just wanted to share with you really what our heart is, what our expectation is for this term as we kick off into ministries again and children start gathering, youth start gathering and all these things. And I want to just invite Sam and Tyler and Anna to come and join me as we're going to pray for four things specifically across our congregation today, and then Simon will come in just after that. Firstly, there's this real thing in us that says what an incredible privilege it is to serve, to champion, to cheer on people. We don't take it for granted. We're not just here. We don't do a job. You know, and you guys aren't our boss. The Lord is who we serve. But we have an incredible privilege to look after, to tend to evoke the gifts within people. People are what we're about. If it wasn't for people, we wouldn't be here. Am I right? It's a very smart statement, yes. Because we wouldn't be here. Anyway, and so we're here to call out, we're here to shepherd and to cultivate, and it's an incredible privilege for us. But we want to bring honor. That's the word that's been placed on us in terms of our services and the way we do things. You know that God has made each and every single human being, and it is our job to honor the design within them, to bring praise to the value that sits within every living being on this earth. We are called to do that. We can't bring dishonor. We are called to bring honor. And we want to bring honor not just to the people, but to the spaces, the places, and the gifts that God has called us to. And so this morning, we're going to pray over that. You know, we are in places. Last year, we did a series, Present in Place. We're not just in one suburb, we're in a couple. And actually, we're in multiple. So if you look at that little map there, those are little pins of churches all across this region. But we've thought about mapping your addresses on there. And we would obviously not name them because then people would know where you live. We already know where you live. Anyway, they would know where you live if you're a partner. But that we are representing God and His kingdom across this whole place. And in fact, if we could just minister to our streets, just imagine the impact that that would have if we individually just took ownership of the streets we live in. But we are in succinct places as well. God has given us a presence in Arana Hills, this suburb. And so the suburb should be better off because we are here. God has given us a presence in Zulmere for those members that have been part of that journey, where we can be a presence, a missional presence, a life-giving presence in that suburb. And it should be better off because we are there. And then when we occupy these places, we have the great opportunity to create space, to create room for people to gather. There's these spaces. We have the AM space. Hello, AM. At Arana space. We have the PM space. We have the online space. We have Monday evenings, which many people don't know about, which is a very open space where people just literally come and soak in the presence of God and experience His goodness. We have small groups that gather all across, and we have more planned this term. Specifically in February, we're launching them as we continue. Come and talk to us if you want to be part of that. But these are spaces, and we don't want to honor those spaces individually. Sometimes what happens for operation's sake, and because, you know, volunteering's down across the nation and the world, we tend to try and simplify things to such an extent that we don't actually bring honor to the space. And you know what then happens is there are people in these spaces. You're a person, and you're in a space this morning. We want to honor you. We want to minister and administer the grace of God to you. We don't want to miss you, because we're doing something big for people who aren't here yet. We want to honor and we want to minister to you. And then there are gifts inside of you. We've spoken about this a few times, but the reality is that you're gifted. Each and every single one of you are gifted. It's not just about what you do, but your very presence is a gift. Talk it, brother. Come on. Who needs a bit of a boost this morning? The fact that you are here, because when you are here, other people like you will be comfortable when they come here, because you are here. If you love photography and you meet a photographer who's a guest, you are here. If you like heavy metal and you meet a heavy metal person, then you are here. Do you get it? You're a gift. Your presence is a gift. What you do is a gift. Another way to show it is that when these gifts, you can just jump to the next one. Tony, when these gifts are released, when you trust us with your gifts, you start serving in different spaces, different services, preferably the ones that you attend. And then those spaces create room for more people. So we want to pray into that this morning. There'll be some changes that you might notice across the term. We're not making big changes without speaking, without engaging, without inviting. You might not even notice some of the things we shift operationally, but you need to know that everything we change, we hope that it is deeply rooted, deeply connected in the Trinity, in God. That's why we're here. We're a church. We're not a business. The people of God coming together to worship Him, to bring glory, to bring restoration and reconciliation to this earth. You see, people are central, but we recognize that without God, we can just end up serving people's agenda without recognizing God's agenda. That's why we're here, aren't we? To hear from the Lord collectively in community. So we're going to pray, and I'll pray for space, for places, and we'll go through the team as we do these. Dave at the back is also part of our staff team. Hi, Dave. Everyone loves Dave so much. We've got Darren as part of our staff team. He's in Zulmere this morning, administering God's grace in that space. We're looking forward to some changes in that suburb as well as we look to eat together with the community more. And we're excited. I'm going to open. Father, we just thank you for the places you've placed us in. It's not insignificant. It's important that we would know the place, that we would know Arana Hills, that we would know Zulmere, that we would recognize the other suburbs around us and trust, Lord, that through us worshiping the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that people will be built up, that this place would be better off because we are here. We thank you for that opportunity, Father. We thank you for each hall hirer who comes into our facilities across the week, the charities who occupy the spaces that we create. Father, we thank you for them, that this is a peaceful presence. May it continue and may it grow. May we be known for a place that can be trusted, not just because we have services on a Sunday, but because of the people that occupy this space. Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for these suburbs and we pray for them. Thank you, Lord.
God, we just lift up the different spaces that we as a church community operate in and through. We thank you for our groups and our gatherings, Lord, for the groups that we have, whether they be interest or small groups or Bible studies or discipleship groups or just friendship groups, Lord. We thank you that they are spaces where people can belong and that they are cared for and that they can become deeply rooted in a place that loves them. And I want to lift up a few, and only a few, of the long-standing groups that we have in this community for BPR, for Fernie Groovers, Lord, for the Wednesday morning ladies Bible study, Lord, for coffee and dessert, and the many more that you know. I just thank you that these smaller gatherings of your people, Lord, have been a place of belonging and of care in this community, and just the investment into the people and into the lives of, this place. I just thank you for what they have done in forming the culture and the very nature of who we are as a church. And I pray for those groups that are still forming and upcoming, Lord. I pray that you would empower leaders, Lord, that you would call them out and that you would show them just how easy it can be when we follow your leadership, what it is to lead your people, and that that's what you call us to do, to lead each other into closer relationship with you. So we thank you for our groups and our gatherings, God, for, our AM, our PM, our Zilmia, and our online services, our Monday prayer and worship, Lord, our play groups, our kids club, our youth group, these places where people can come and gather corporately together, that these services are places where we give you praise. Lord, we come together in celebration of who you are. We come to learn more about you. And I just thank you for the encouragement that these spaces are, that they're not separate. God, they are different. Lord, they are at different times. They are different demographics. They're in different places. But Lord, all of these groups, all of these gatherings, they work together for the good of this community, for the good of your kingdom. And God, we recognize that your kingdom is about welcoming all people. God, it's about including all people and it's about loving all people. And so I pray that you would help us as we pursue to love people well. We just thank you, for groups, for gatherings, and for your kingdom and the love that you have for us and how we can extend that to the people that come into the spaces that we hold.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for those spaces that we get to move and be a part of. And without people, these places wouldn't exist. So thank you for creating us, people. All different and unique. God, thank you that you looked at us, you looked at the creation and said we were very good. We were most valuable and nothing we could do could ever separate us from your love. Nothing disqualifies us from being your children. We thank you for gathering this community, for the people that sit in front of me, for those at home, for those who are part of this but not here, God. They are a gift. Thank you for those who started Arana Hills Church of Christ all those years ago. For those who are yet to be a part of this community one day. Thank you for a place to belong, a place to invite people to, a place to meet with you together. Lord, I want to lift these people to you, to stand with them today in prayer. Lord, we ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us, that we will come to know you even more, and not just know you, but truly and deeply know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you open our ears to hear you more clearly? Would we learn to discover and experience you for ourselves? Thank you that you desire relationship with us. Lord, we know that it's not just about what happens in this place, but there is a lot of things that happen outside these walls. And thank you that you are not distant from us. Lord, you are right by our sides. Would you empower us and encourage us with when things get tough and when there's disagreements? Would we look to you? Would you come out in our actions and our words? God, we look to you for wisdom. Lord, I believe that you have the power to intervene into our circumstances, and we pray for those who are struggling with health issues, for people who are struggling at work or to find work that they enjoy, for those who are afraid or feel ashamed, for people with anxiety, for those with messy relationships, for those who feel alone, for those who have been hurt. God, you already know about these things, and God, we trust these things with you. God, we ask for your help. We pray for miracles to take place and for healing in our hearts. Jesus, thank you that we are seen by you, that you care for us. We give our lives to you, and would you, we continue to learn and discover what it truly means to live for you and to be loved by you. I just want to read a bit of a psalm just about the closeness of God with us. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen.
Can we just take a moment and soak that in for a second? What Anna's just prayed over us and those words from God, can we just like sit for a moment in that? Lord, as I stand here wanting to pray about the gifts that you've given us and the gifts in this room, I just want to recognize the gift in what Anna's just given us as a church. In the words that you've placed in her heart to share. From your word, but from her relationship with you. I want to apologize, Lord, for what we do with the word gifts. That's right. For what we do when we limit gifts in such a way that denies you and denies your glory and your holiness and your presence. I want to pray for a renewing of what gifts mean to your kingdom. And that it isn't a selfish thing because we recognize first and foremost the greatest gifts that you have given us, your Son and your Spirit with us. And Lord, as we abide, as we draw close to you, What flows out from that place is a gift. It's a gift. Would you help us in this place be a people who encourage gifts, who empower gifts, not in our own strength, not in isolation, but Lord, with you and your calling and your leading and your presence. Would we be a place who look out and see the gifts right in front of us because we have people who are present, not just attending, but present, Lord. That in as we are present, what flows out from that place is beautiful. We also recognize the gifts that aren't here yet. The gifts that you are bringing, the gifts that you are calling, the gifts you are revealing. And we do thank you for the gifts that benefit the kingdom. They benefit people. They are an outworking. We thank you for those, Lord, but we also thank you for the gifts that are us. Not to mention the gift of having a relationship with our Creator again. What a gift that is. As we love, as we move, as we pray, and as we're in relationship with the people around us, would the gifts from your Spirit be evident? And would they make a difference in your kingdom work? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Simon. Okay, I've got an opportunity to draw this together, and I should just say amen. But I want to pray for these guys and for the leadership of the church, and then pray for us in whatever this term holds and however the Lord is leading. So just join with me as we pray for AJ and the team and the leaders. Father, I just thank you for these guys called at this time to ministry in this church, in this community. And I just want to bless them. Bless them with a real peace to know that you are holding them, that you are guiding them, and at the table that they sit at regularly with one another, that you are present. And I just thank you for each one of them. And as they've prayed over us today, we as a congregation, as a fellowship community, pray over them and just release your Spirit. Take them forward this term, this year, and into the future in the way that you're leading. And for us as a community too, I just pray, if there's changes, there's going to bring fear or uncertainty. The world is experiencing that at the moment. And if that's coming into the church, I pray, Father, that you will minister to our hearts, minister in the ways that we feel fear or just not knowing what is coming, that we can trust you, that we are held and that you know the future and where you are taking us. And I just ask, Lord, that for all people in this fellowship, the ones who are gathering in the AM, the PM, the Zoomia, the online, that each one will know your presence in a deeper way at this time and through what you are doing. So, Father, bless this church, bless this term and where you are leading us. Amen. Just before we go, looking at, I think all the kids have gone. We're going to pray for the kids. Is there any kids here? I see three kids over there. Do you want to come up the front? It's always because then we're going to send you down the bottom. So thank you, team. We've got the important kids coming up now. Okay, now, when we were children's pastor, people used to say to us, we've got to pray for children because they're the next generation of the church. I took offence at that because this is the church. This is the generation of the church. Hey, guys, anybody going to school for the first time? Harvey's already been at school, but there's a few already sneaked out. What, there is? Oh, first time at school? Wow, you're 2 weeks late. And now, are you very excited? Do you know the name of your teacher yet?
You do. What's her name? Can you remember?
Miss H.
Mrs. H. Miss H. So Miss H is going to be looking after you this year. Oh, Mrs. H. Sorry, not Miss H. But
she always says.
Oh, she always says Miss. It's all right, Mrs. or Miss H will be leading. But with all of these kids go to school, and then, of course, the children's ministry will be starting up too. There's a few more stragglers coming in. But we're just going to pray for the kids and for Anna and the volunteers who look after these kids, particularly here on a Sunday morning. So, Father, I just thank you for each of the children who are a part of this community. What a blessing. The life that they bring into our lives just by their enthusiasm, their innocence, their experimenting, their curiosity, and their fun and joy. And I pray, Lord, that we'll experience you through these kids. I just want to pray a particular blessing this term and this year for Anna and for the volunteers who serve with her downstairs and in the services, just for protection, but also just for inspiration and encouragement as they lead this younger generation of this church. So we just bless them now and thank you for them. Amen. Bless you guys. Okay, you can go out now. You have been very patient. So we're heading out that back door. And AJ's taking it.
Thanks, Simon.
Very good. Thank you for creating a bit of space in yourself this morning just for this community, for those who are part of it. Obviously, it means more than those who are guests. But I think it's really important how you start things and that you're intentional with them. And so that's what a little bit of this morning was about. At the end of last year, we read a piece of scripture, sent it along a little bit amongst the leaders. And by the way, these on stage, we're not the leaders this morning. We're part of a much bigger team. We have a board and an eldership that represent the leadership as a whole. So grateful for each and every one of them. And we're hanging out today after the service. So sorry for those who are not invited. But we're going to have some lunch together and just some fellowship. But in our hearts, we've been sensing there was this scripture in Matthew 13. It's a parable about these two words, good soil. Good soil. Do we have any farmers in the house? No. Any gardeners? Yes, we've got a few. Okay, praise the Lord. You can correct me on my terms and my phrases and the brokenness of my parable use and so forth. But we ask the question from the scripture, and it starts in Matthew 13 from verse 1 to 9, the parable of the sower. He then later on goes, and we can move forward to verse 18, where he then describes the parable in quite depth. And we can read that together, and he says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path." It's hard. "The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they don't stay to be present in place, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times which was sown." Good soil. We recognize this could mean a couple of things, but particularly relating to the heart and your condition, your well-being, that which prepares you to receive the word that has been given so freely to you. How is the state of your soil? What does it look like down there? Before we ask the question, well, what makes for good soil? Because they don't actually dig into that. The whole gift of scripture is a gift to us to dissect, to work through in the context of community, to form these thoughts. We have to start by turning the soil. I think there's another word. Anyway, you get that roller with the spikes in. They do something else. There's another word, but I don't know what it is. Such a newbie. Aerate. Turning the soil, the thought behind that is that we would start to examine the condition of our life and our soil. If we are to receive the word and create the fruit that God has made for us to create, we need to be able to examine the content of our soil, the content of our life, what's happening down there. Throughout this month of February, we'll be looking at what turning the soil looks like. And we'll share a little bit more on that. We then will enter a period of Lent, which perfectly prepares us then to receive the seed, the Jesus, the Christ, into our life over Easter. So really, this is a theme that will run through all that we will communicate. We'll have multiple speakers who do that, and we trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us. I want to read, though, as we talk about turning the soil a little bit this morning, from John chapter 12. We've been reading from John quite a bit this year so far. Join with me as it also looks as a prophecy from Isaiah. Even after Jesus has performed so many signs in the presence, they, these are Jews in their midst, would not believe him still. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. And here they reflect back on the book of Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe. Because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Can you say turn? Thank you for helping. Can you say turn? Thank you. That's so good. Turn the soil. Turn around. Turn from one end to another. Come to an awakening of the mind. It then continues, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. And yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, but it grew pressure, for the fear they would be put out of the synagogue, out of the club. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Just look at that a little bit. Is there anyone here who does the same? For they love human praise more than praise from God. It's often the reason that we don't address things in our life is we don't want to offend. We don't want to stir the pot. We don't want to turn the soil. We don't want to be the one digging up the past. We don't want to be the one going back. We don't want to be troublemakers. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, this is a big statement, but in the one who sent me, claiming his authority as the Son of God. Doesn't say it so directly, and that's why they're offended as well. But in the one who sent me, the one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. What is he saying here? He's saying, you're looking at God. It's a tremendous thing to say. Then I want to focus on this. And he says, I have come. You're looking at me, and I represent what? God. You look at me, you see the Father. And I have come. Why did God come? I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. I think when we come into church and we awaken to who God is and we hear this message of grace and it's beautiful and it changes your life. And there's this moment where you're so vulnerable, but you're also so excited. This is this whole new thing. This is this new life that I'm introduced into. And then you settle, you become part of the community. And this is not for everyone, but a lot of people. We then somehow, we start readjusting back to what we once were. So we say yes to the Lord, we say yes to his plan for our life, we join a community, but we keep hold of some of those things that we were part of beforehand. And over time, there's this gravitational pull that pulls us back to rely on ourselves. It pulls us back into our BC days before we met Jesus. It pulls us back into this independence. We usually get to God through realizing that we need him. And then things start improving, and then we again find ourselves in a place where we think we can do it on our own. We are then confronted with the realities of our life, the things that lie beneath the surface. And I'm not talking just about your behavior, and I'm not talking just about sins of commission, but also the omission. I'm talking about the things that maybe sit in our relational life, that sit within our community. And then it's very difficult for us to go back to those things and start addressing them, to turn the soil of the reality of where we are. We harden our hearts. We become like that piece of soil that's really thick and hard on the outside, and so it becomes very difficult to notice. And in fact, what we do is we choose not to. And it's fully understandable, because sometimes the things that happen to us and the journey that we're on, it's not nice to go back there. It's not always fun to go and visit. In fact, most of the time it's not. But what we don't realize is the things that are below the surface, the things that are there, the things that are present in your life. There are so many examples I could use. The things that are there, they're there. They're not going away unless they're addressed. Unless there can be light on them, unless we can see them, they're there. And by keeping their covering on, by not turning the soil, we might be avoiding them temporarily. But over time, they don't lose their capacity to harm, to bring damage. And then when we hit a crisis and we turn the soil, we're often surprised by what we find, because those things have continued to grow. Those weeds are still there, but they're stronger and they're bigger than we realized. So there's this thing about transformation, when we get to a place where we can confess and repent and surrender to God, that's very hard to do. So they're not typically things that are preached on often, because they're really hard and difficult, but they're also beautiful. They're beautiful. Because if we can do that, if we can humble ourselves and surrender to God, if we can confess with our mouth that which is truly true, if we can repent and turn around and address these things, then we start healing them. And it's really good for us to do. Have you ever had a friend or a family member that you know has things they need to work on? Because it's easier always to look to other people than ourselves. But what's hurting you is not the fact that, you know, it's there. What's hurting you is the fact that they're ignoring it. They're ignoring the reality of what's there. They're choosing to look the other way. They're not willing to turn the soil of their life. And you know that at some stage, they're going to have to. And the longer they wait, the harder it's going to be. The more it's going to hurt. The deeper it's going to impact them. Well, the same is true for us. I believe God looks at us and He says, listen, I can see all things. You can't hide anything from me. I know what is real. But I beg of you to open your life to me so that we can address these things together and we can see them healed and we can see them restored. I hope that you do, because the quicker the better. In my grandfather's garden, they had this one big tree, and I'm not even sure what it's called in English. You probably have equivalent, but it's a pen durang. So it's this thorn is like as big as a pen, and it has two, and it stands up like that, you know, and it really waits for you in lying. And so when you run across this thing, there's a high potential capacity that this thing's going to go into your foot. And it's like when one of those thorns go into your foot, and it's not the whole one, but it's like the tip, and it breaks off, and you think, oh, she'll be right. We'll just leave it a bit. Doesn't work. It has to come out. It's not part of that which your foot is made for. There's no room for a thorn there. The foot doesn't say, hey, thorn, welcome to the party. We're going to keep you around. It rejects it. But it can't do it on its own. It needs some intervention. My nephew one day ran over one of them and it stuck right through his foot. Like you can see half of it through the top of his foot. Couldn't just leave it. We had to pull it out. There's a lot of screaming. It's hard for us. And I want to recognize that tonight. It's hard for us. You can go back to the previous one. It's really hard for us to look down there. We're not flippant with the fact that we're just going to do a month-long series and everyone's just going to open their lives and they're going to address all their past hurt and their problems and their issues. We're also aware that when we talk about these things, that it immediately evokes certain emotions within you, and we want to encourage you to seek help for that, to seek support for that. And ideally, if you're in a type of small group, and we're starting more up in February, if you're part of that, it's really healthy for you to have a group of people that you can be accountable to, especially so when you work on these things of the heart. Because it can feel overwhelming. But it's so necessary. So on the one end, I apologize that we're talking about this. Because I don't like it to see people hurting. But on the other end, I don't. Because we have to be able to have difficult conversations. They're so good for us. They hurt like hell, but they're good. Sometimes you bump into someone and they've been keeping a thought for a long time and they just tell you, you know, they just tell you the thing that they've been seeing in you. And you're so offended at first. You're like, oh, just, who are you? How dare you speak to me? We don't have any. And then later on you realize, oh, they were right. That's why I reacted like that. So be gentle with yourself. Be in a community. We know how it feels because we all go there. We all have it down there. The other night I was sleeping, and as we all do, anyway, and about a year and a half ago or so, a couple of young people, or I don't even know who they are, broke into our house, and they had a bit of a wander downstairs. They didn't take anything except the car, and so they drove out with our car, and they took it for a little bit of a ride, and then they got out and they decorated it externally with keys and screwdrivers and things. Very creative. I need to be in an art class or something. And so that was a traumatic experience. We came out the morning, the car was gone. We realized someone was in the house. Anyway, that's affected my sleep a little bit. But I was sleeping the other night, just for context. And just, I thought I was awake, but I'm not awake. I'm in that little bit of a middle part. And I could just hear someone tapping on the front door. Like over and over, on the glass. We have these glass panels. It was like a key was tapping on the glass. And then it would stop. And then we'd go on again, and it would stop. And I jumped out of bed. Corinna knows I'm lying because I don't jump out of bed. Felt like I jumped out of bed. I sat up straight, and I'm like, there's someone downstairs. What am I going to do? Am I going to get back in bed? It's much nicer there. Nice and warm. Nice mattress. Bit of a, you know, quilt cover or something. I just doze off again. I have a few decisions to make. Or am I going to go down there? Now, you might not believe me when you look at me. You're like, whatever, AJ. Like, who are you scared of? Your heart, when you walk, you all have these experiences. So I walk to the stairs and I look down. I can't see anything because there's no view there. And I'm like, oh, this is so inconvenient. But my daughter's room is there. My other daughter's room is there. My wife and my little boys in the other room. And so if I go to bed, you know, they could just come up. They can do what they want. So it took me about 2 minutes, mustering the courage. I didn't have any hockey sticks or cricket bats. What's wrong with my family? I don't keep any weapons upstairs. All the knives are down there. All the weapons are down there. I thought, okay, I'll use my elbow. I've got my keys. I'll stab him with my keys. I think a key can hurt, you know, if you go to the ribs or something. Like, so I walk down the stairs. And I know if they're outside and it's dark, they can see in, but I can't see out. But every little corner, if someone filmed me, I would want to destroy that tape because it's damaging to my ego. But eventually I was downstairs, and eventually I was at the front door, and eventually I opened it. Boo! There was no one there. It's so hard to go down there. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative? So maybe the Spirit is speaking to you as we converse on those things. Either there's things physically that you're not addressing. Either there's things emotionally, either in yourself or then relationally in other people that you are ignoring, not addressing, not speaking about, or even spiritually. Your spiritual health is not where it needs to be, either by the things that you do or you don't do. So that's what we'll address. We'll talk about confession, repentance, and surrender in the next couple of weeks. It really is the concept of metanoia, which means repentance, but I like the description of reformation. Metanoia, the word metanoia is the root word for metamorphosis. It really is the type of transformation that does not leave you as a fat little worm, but transforms you into the butterfly that you've always been. That full life that we are called towards in Jesus. Not a life that just smiles and thrives and has photos at the beach all the time, but the kind of life that is real, that draws out the Christ-like character and potential from your innermost. It's hard for us because it's comfortable to be a fat little worm sometimes, but there is more to your life if you can only go into an environment that can transform you. And it really is in that cocoon space we find ourselves. It includes gatherings like this one, but it also includes a small group of people that can care for us and keep us accountable and call out when our behavior does not align to our identity in the context through relationship. I'm inviting you today to join us on this journey for February and right into Easter and after. May it be that over a focused period of time, either in group life or through being engaged online, may it be that we could see deep transformation and healing in your life. I mean, if you're all good, like fine, come for the coffee when it's available. You're welcome to tag along as a guest. If you're all good and everything's fine and sorted and you can't believe how phenomenal life is in your relationships, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, I think the majority of the room qualifies to go on a little bit of a journey towards restoration. This morning we have communion ready. Hopefully you took it when you came in. And we want to take that together as a faith community this morning. The good news is that you're not doing this on your own. Neither are you entering any space that has not been occupied in the past. The one who made us made a decision to enter darkness with his light, to become that which hurts, to absorb that which breaks and annihilates and offends, to become the very thing that we need to go through. And I think it's great message. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 to 21 reads the following. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. This is Jesus. Therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, this is living in the light, but for him for whose sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. You see, it's these behaviors are only an indication of a wrong understanding of our identity. You can't just judge people on what they do. We have to look about what they deeply believe. There is a root cause of their behavior. It's also an indication of brokenness and hurt, the sense of lost value. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Thank you, Lord, for providing this to us, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. And that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That we recognize the behavior, but we do not count it against them. That we recognize the behavior in ourselves, but we do not count it against ourselves, because God doesn't count it against us. We know there's a deeper reason. Therefore, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I think sometimes it's like we say yes to the message of Jesus, but we don't adjust into the reality of what this new life looks like. He says, you've been reconciled. God reconciled himself. He made his mind up about you. God doesn't change his mind about you. His mind is made up about you, and it looks like Jesus. And now he says, can you reconcile to God? Can you make your mind up about what God thinks about you? Because it'll change your life. Because for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. We take communion this morning, saying yes to what God has done, and then saying yes to ourselves. Father, we honor you for what you've done. We thank you for your initiative. That before we even took our first breath, Lord, you knew who we were, and you knew how valuable we were, and you knew what we were like. Even when we were put together in our mother's womb, you were dreaming dreams about our life. But somehow along the way, we have said yes to a substandard way of living. We've said yes to actually suffering in the context of this world in such ways that breaks us down even more. Father, we are so focused on the brokenness that's there. We sometimes are intimidated by it, and so we don't enter it with your guidance and your Holy Spirit because we fear that we will be destroyed. But I believe that God is calling you. He's encouraging you. He's giving you courage through the Holy Spirit to, in the context of community, enter those spaces. To go down there, because you know what? God has gone down there. Jesus has gone down there. Jesus has entered your brokenness. He's entered your pain. He's entered your lostness, and he's there, and he's saying, I'm here, and we need to heal this thing because it will get bigger if we don't address it now. Father, I sense just in this room, there are people, and they immediately knew what we were speaking about. Not our stories, but they knew the thing in their story. They knew the thing that they were called to go and address with support, with people around them, but they know what we're talking about. Can we trust? Can we trust that there'd be healing in that space this morning? Over the next couple of months, can we trust that something deep will shift within every person in this room? This morning we say yes to the life that you've given us through remembering what you have done on the cross, through your body and through your blood. We take this communion now as a commitment to our journey towards our true selves revealed in you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were encouraged by the message and would like to hear more sermons like this, make sure you hit subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. To experience other messages, videos, and live services, head to aranahills.church and navigate to the Resources tab. Thanks for listening.